Good evening. We're going to go ahead and call our meeting to order. I want to thank everyone for attending this evening. And we'll start with a roll call. We have Ms. Roslin. We have Mr. Eric here with us. We have Chris, myself, Alan Moore, Ms. Rena, Ms. Ella, and also Mr. Daniel Kelly. Everyone present, and of course our legal representation as well. So if you would, please stand, and Eric's going to give us an opening prayer.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you for bringing us all here tonight. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you bless us with the graces to be able to commune with one another and to share our ideas in ways that we can make our library system much better. In Jesus' name we pray.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, Mr. Chris, if you would, give us our reading this evening.
I want to give you a warm welcome to the Lafayette Public Library Board of Control meeting. As a presiding officer, I would like to announce the following. This is a public meeting. To address the Board of Control on any item on the agenda, please complete and submit the public speaker form available over there prior to the calling of the agenda item in order to have the opportunity to speak. Additional procedures and policies for addressing the board may be found on the public speaker form. Completed speaker forms and other items for submission to the board should be handed to Ms. Nancy Eber or designee seated at the table to our right. When addressing the board, state your name, parish of residence, and the title for the official record. All comments must pertain to library business in general, and the action item being considered in particular. The 3-minute rule will be in effect. Members of the public are asked to remain quiet during the meeting to allow the board to conduct its business efficiently and to refrain from making comments while other members of the public are addressing the board from the podium. Anyone who willfully disrupts the meeting to the extent that the orderly conduct thereof is seriously compromised will be subject to removal in accordance with applicable law. Meeting procedures are governed generally by Rob's Rules of Order, but the presiding officer may deviate from Rob's Rules of Order when necessary, convenient, or desirable for the efficient proceeding of the meeting. Please silence all phones and electronic devices. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chris. And again, thank you, everyone, for being here this evening. We do have some exciting news and some pretty impressive renderings and all kind of fun things to cover. So, without further ado, we're going to move through our agenda and get to the exciting parts. Do we have any comments from the board? All quiet on the home front. All right. Great news. Well, with that, we will move into our director's report. Mr. Galane.
Okay. So, it's been a long time since we've met. So I have been doing a lot of stuff. Most of the stuff I've been doing lately has been related to the Northeast Library. Also some work related to the Karen Crow Library and the excitement that's going on with that building. I have attended a couple of council meetings, been looking at a warehouse. It pretty much covers what's been occupying all of my time, except for things that are going to show up in Dawn's report.
Danny, you're so short-winded tonight. You feeling okay?
Oh, there'll be plenty of time for me to talk.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir. And Ms. Dawn, if you would give us our assistant director's report, please.
Sure thing. In the past month, I attended the Friends monthly board meeting, and we held our annual summer reading kickoff at South Regional. We had over 3,900 people attend our summer reading kickoff, which was a record. In May, we had a total of 58,948 visitors use our libraries and drive-throughs, which was about a 3% increase over our April totals. We had 115,991 total checkouts. In addition, 5,381 patrons attended the 273 programs that we offered in that month. Our outreach staff was also busy in May. The bookmobile made 24 stops, had 189 patron visits, 1,074 checkouts, and staff made 35 homebound deliveries. We currently have 2,337 patrons signed up for our summer reading challenge, and to date, patrons have already logged 16,066 days of reading. And we're not even, I think tomorrow is our first month where they'll start getting rewards. This past spring, we piloted a program called 100 Book Club for Daycares, which challenged teachers and students in daycares to read 100 books. It was such a huge success that we will be offering it to all of the daycares that our librarians visit. The program will run from August through May of 2027.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Is there a cutoff date for people to join in the summer reading program?
No, ma'am.
I saw someone in public with a young child, and I told her about it.
I think it lasts all summer. Yeah, they can. It might just be tough to reach the milestone joining this late, but right. I consider that a challenge. So, all right, anybody else?
All right. No other questions for Ms. Donner or Mr. Galane? Okey-dokey. Ms. Donner, if you would, for those that may not be familiar, would you kind of give a lay of the land, the 16,000 hours? How's that captured, and what exactly does that mean?
You mean the 16,000 days?
Or days.
Yes, days. So each time a patron reads, they log that as a day. So whether they're being read aloud to, or they're reading independently, whether it's an audiobook, whether it's a book that they're reading themselves, they can log that and count that toward the challenge.
And that was captured in the first 30 days?
Yes, that was captured from June 1st till today even, yeah.
Very cool, very cool. Okay, now we have the operation manager's report. Danny, I guess it's you again, being Larry's.
The part of Larry Angel will be performed by Danny Billy. On the facilities report, the elevator modernization project at Main Library, there's no new updates at this time. Early estimates of work starting September 26th. There's a lot of long lead times on the equipment. The South Regional Library renovation project, the state fire marshal has approved the inspection. Final walkthroughs have occurred and final punch list has been issued. The final inspections have occurred, and a final punch list has also been issued for the re-roofing project. The Northeast Library, the schematic design is complete and will be presented. Design development phase is progressing, as well as the process to select a construction manager at risk, CMAR, and that is the first time I've seen those words written out. Who knew? The North Regional Library renovation project, the roof has been replaced and all interior demo and mold remediation is complete pending third-party testing inspection. Unforeseen underlying issues were much more extensive and costly than initially anticipated. The project should start progressing much faster now that the remediation issues have been addressed. So you have the finances in detail in front of you, but this is what Larry told me I needed to tell you. Our revenues thus far are $15.3 million and expenses of $10.7 million. In comparison, last year we had revenues of $14.7 million and expenses of $9 million at this point.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Galane on the operations manager's report or the financials? All right, moving right along then, we'll move into taking just a moment here to review and then take motions to approve our minutes of the meeting from May 18th. Okay, do we have a motion for approval?
I make a motion.
All right, do we have a second?
A second.
We have a motion and a second on the floor. Do we have any comment? No comments? Okay. We have a motion and a second. No comments. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. The ayes have it. Motion carries. All right. We're going to move into some new business. We do have some visitors with us this evening, which we are so excited to welcome. The first visitor we will welcome is really not a visitor, just from across the way, coming to share some great information and discuss some of the library millage and the new Northeast Library progress, Ms. Rachel Godo. Thank you for coming and being here with us tonight.
Absolutely.
Take your liberties.
Yes. Rachel Godo, Chief Administrative Officer for Lafayette Consolidated Government. This is, I think, my second, maybe third time back here. I want to thank you all for having me again. Last time I came to present on the Northeast Regional Library, one of the important priorities that we wanted to continue to facilitate is open, transparent communication on where we're at in the process. We have been working really well with Danny Galane, so I appreciate his leadership and all the decision-making he's been doing recently on all things related to the Northeast Regional Library. Today, we're very excited to not only present Maureen, I'm butchering your last name a little bit, Arden, with 720 Designs. They're an upstanding firm. They have been with us from the very beginning, I think with a lot of the public outreach early on, even prior to this administration, there was a lot of work that had been done. And so it was just a natural fit to enlist their support and their continued services to actually design the Northeast Regional Library. They have done hundreds of libraries across the U.S., as I can appreciate and understand. So there's a lot of expertise and professionalism that was brought to the table with their experience. So very excited in regards to all of the illustrations and the visuals that you will see tonight about the conceptual design, some of the layout. This was not done necessarily at the administrative level. This was really done with a lot of effort from Danny and his team. And again, just want to appreciate the work that has been undertaken to be able to get us where we're at today. And also want to thank Maureen. I asked her early on, can you shave 2 months off of the schedule just to get us up to speed where we need to be? And she was very gracious enough to be able to accommodate that schedule for us. So we're hoping by the end of the year, we'll have really solid designs. We'll go under a process of getting the construction manager at risk on board for construction purposes. And hopefully by the end of 2028, we will have some sort of groundbreaking, or I'm sorry, a ribbon cutting is what we're aiming for. So just a couple of things before we get into the architectural presentation. Alan, I want to thank you for meeting with me. I think some of the concerns that were shared early on, and just to address the elephant in the room, is the passage of the millages, right? This past May, we had millages that were up for renewal that were not successful. The parish has been in this position before, and we are very confident that when we put it back on the ballot, we're going to do it in such a way that it ensures success. Certainly don't want to have our head in the sand on the issue of building a library while we're trying to go for a millage renewal. I do think it's important to communicate that even though the millages are up for renewal this year, we still have a whole nother year to collect. That being said, from a strategic standpoint, the administration is putting at least seven millages up for renewal this December. So the library millage in particular will go along with an entire public safety package. And that being the courthouse, the detention center, the juvenile detention, the library as well, some bond obligation renewals, public buildings, police and fire salaries are on there, and then there may be opportunities for parks and rec and streets and roads. So quite a few millages that we will be proposing up for renewal this December. It does have to go through a council process, and just so you all are aware, from a timing perspective, why we didn't call it a little bit earlier, there is a certain waiting period that we have to, that's kind of regulated by law. So 6 months from the time that the election happens, there's a waiting period in order for us to put those millages back up on the ballot for proposal and consideration by the general public. So we are going through that process right now with the parish council. There will be a notice of intent to call an election, and then we'll have to specifically state what the millages that will be proposed in December will be up on the ballot for. So with that, I'm going to open it up for question and answers.
Sure. Okay. Any of our board have any questions for Ms. Rachel?
I have one. What is the square footage of the building?
So I'm going to actually, like the architect, get into all of those details and present the building design.
Okay.
She has a pretty robust presentation, so I would like her to facilitate those discussions.
Okay.
Okay, well, I have two questions. How is LCG going about educating the public about the renewals that will be on the ballot in November? Is it November or
December?
December. Because this is the first that I'm hearing that we're going to have that many renewals. And
yeah, and so the decision has to be made first by the parish council, and there is an intent to call, I believe, on July 7th. That millage renewal. And so from there, we will go through a process of engaging all those that it impacts. So police and fire, right? You would want to get the police and fire unions probably on board. Library, we would leverage a partnership with you all for the adult corrections, juvenile detention. Again, those are public safety millages that are critical to the operations of the parish government. So again, last time when we had millages that were up for renewal as a standalone millage package, we did go through an exercise of, we went through a process of communicating publicly the importance of the millages. So typically 2 to 3 weeks before is really when you would want to ramp up your communications publicly to ensure that you meet the window of when you're, because we don't want it to be confused with the November election. So that's also important to let the November election happen. We can talk in the circles of influence with people that will be directly impacted, but after the November election is typically when you would want to ramp up for the December election.
Okay, that makes sense. And also, I'm gonna be realistic. What if the the renewal does not pass for the library? I mean, how does that affect the Northeast Library?
Yeah, if the millage does not pass, I'm gonna say we're in a probably greater issue because it's among one of 7 to 9 that would be considered. So there's a lot of what if scenarios, and I do wanna be realistic about it, and I think that's one of those decisions that we would cross when we get there.
Yeah, and I'd also like to, I guess, comment there with you, Rachel. The library board, as the executives, and also working with the administration, we are already moving forward on looking at what alternative plans could be. We're not just sitting on our hands hoping that it passes. We all believe that it will. We fervently believe that we were kind of all caught up in a no down ballot vote that was just the wrong place at the wrong time kind of thing. I think when you look at the metrics of 750,000 door passes at all of our libraries, whenever we're barely 250,000 people in this parish, all of the phenomenal metrics that we constantly hear, all of the meeting rooms that have been booked and all of the programs that have been attended, you know, 30,000, it's just unbelievable numbers. I don't think anyone doubts the validity or the value that the library brings to Lafayette Parish. I think it was an issue with us being caught in the wrong place at the wrong time. And so that's our position. However, we are already making plans on what alternative action could be if, for whatever reason, it doesn't pass. And even to that, Rachel, you can maybe speak a little bit more, but we do have additional opportunities even after December to continue to go back and figure out what the issue may be. So this is not a one-shot wonder. There are several opportunities that we will have. We are engaging with a lot of the community, doing radio shows and commercial, I mean, all kind of different things that are going on, pushing it all over social media, as well as, to the extent of the law, Mr. Glane, trying to mobilize the people that used this library. You know, when you're talking, again, almost 750,000 door passes. Now, obviously, That's not individual people, that's some of the same people many times, but it's still a staggering number when you look at, we only have about 250,000 citizens in this parish. So there's a tremendous amount of people that use the library that we want to get the message out to support the library this coming December. So there's a lot going on to make sure that our library stays well-funded and continues to give value to the public and make sure that we as a whole system continue to provide that value that is seen in all the great metrics that's happening. So anything else you want
to add? Yeah, just to reinforce what the, I guess the message that you're saying, in this past election, statewide millage renewals failed. So it wasn't just particular to Lafayette Parish, this was a statewide issue that we faced. So
I know, but also, you know, we just had an election this past weekend and there was a very low turnout. So the way we message things and when we do it will matter.
Yeah, I agree.
Absolutely.
My question is, has Lafayette Consolidated Government put something on the ballot similar to this before? Because I'm assuming the strategy here is for so many essential things to be packaged together that it's too good to vote down. Has this been done before and was it successful, or are there potential issues where it could be voted down in the past historically? Has it happened before where we did this and it didn't work?
So yes, we faced this last year actually, where we put villages on the ballot, and I'm gonna probably have some timing off, but I believe it was in the spring when we first went for a millage renewal for Office of Public Health. It was a combined public health millage in the parish, and streets and roads and bridges. And so those two millages were up in the spring. They failed because they were on a statewide ballot initiative as well. We put them back up, I believe, in November, and they passed successfully.
All right. Yeah, I just want to appreciate the strategy that way. And I align where marketing communication, I feel like there's a bias and an assumption that people know what these services are, and I appreciate waiting for the election, but I think there needs to be other pieces that need to get put out where value statements on multiple fronts that are intentional and coordinated, because I just feel like a lot of the comments on Facebook were things that we do that they don't know, and I think there's an assumption, and I think it's a misplaced assumption. I think that the library is valuable and amazing, but based on the comments and obviously the voter turnout, I believe I agree with Alan when he says that we were just caught, I think, in an all no. But I also think that there's a burden of responsibility to communicate intentionally, maybe not necessarily strongly, but prior to just reinforcing. I know the library's doing a fantastic job. I don't know the gentleman who gets on the internet and says things, but he's entertaining. You know what I'm referring
Garland.
To? Yeah,
Garland.
I love that. Stuff like that is really, really good, but other parties, other stakeholders communicating how valuable the library, I think, needs to be said prior to. And then, of course, like you, I agree, we hit it hard right before,
yep.
So that way there's not distraction of the other election. I think prior to, there needs to be something going out beforehand.
Okay.
I'd like to just respond to Mr. Holmes quickly. At our last meeting, I asked Mr. Villain if there was anything preventing the library board members themselves from speaking personally and publicly, and he said that he wasn't aware of any restrictions on that. So I do think that this board has encountered a complicated history, a complicated reputation. And if we are aiming to turn over a new leaf and really get this out here, we need to acknowledge like our own part in getting trust back to the public and making the library more than just the drama it has been in the past. And so I think we all have it on ourselves to do our own due diligence to getting that messaging out.
Is that something we can do? Can we actively, you know, promote and communicate? Is that something we do?
So I'm going to defer to the lawyer.
Fair enough.
But what I would tell you is that you absolutely can state your support as a sitting member of the library board. Now, what you can and can't do with library funds, that's what I would defer to legal. about advocating versus...
Dan hasn't given me the checkbook yet, so the good news is I asked, he said no, it was awkward. No. No, but fair enough. Is this something that we can do to advocate? Because certainly we're not expecting everyone else to talk and not us. I agree.
Yeah, absolutely. Just like I said last meeting, board members have the absolute ability to advocate for a measure that improves the library or oppose it. It's all, you know, up to you.
I think the only restrictive thing is that you're not taking government funds to lobby.
Yeah.
But if you're advocating and educating, that's different from lobbying.
If at some point your marketing or chief information officer has like a branding guideline or messaging, because I'm sure, you know, we want to communicate not only the library but all the other things going at the same time. If there could be possible a package or just a one sheet to help us know the talking points, obviously
yep.
we can be more creative.
Bullet points,
because I think messaging is important. We don't want to misrepresent the information. We don't
right.
want to miss that. We don't want to be outside of what LCG is trying to communicate. So if that can be provided at some point, not immediately, but, you know, in the future, those are things that I'm sure all of us would be happy to start communicating.
Yes, and that is definitely something that council expects of us as well.
Okay, good. Well, thank you.
Good. Any other questions?
Chris, thank you for all that, because we'll definitely get an email out with some talking points for everyone. Scalane and I will work on that.
All right, anything else from Ms. Rachel?
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you being here.
Okay, we're going to move on to our architect firm, Ms. Maureen, and then also someone else she has in support in tow here. So, y'all please take the podium and have your liberties. Thank y'all for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having us. And of course, a project like this takes a team. We have Jenna is the project manager and project director, and so she's here tonight to help us present the schematic design. Package that we've been working on since February. We're very excited to share with you all the work we've been doing with the library team. Next slide, Danny. So this picture is actually from the very first schematic design meeting. At this meeting, we took the program that we presented to you more than a year ago and made the blocks, and we were looking at the adjacency diagrams. How, from a functional standpoint, should the library work? How do the books and materials and people move through the space? And you see Larry and Danny and Carolyn and I working on how all of that works together. So tonight we wanted to just share with you some fast facts about the building, remind you of the top 10 list from the community engagement that we did, and show you how we've implemented that into the floor plan, the master plan, and the exterior of the project. So the building size, the usable space, is 20,533 square feet. That is the net, not the gross. The overall is about 22,000 square feet if we take it from the outside of the building. The site size is about 6.5 acres. We have 113 parking spaces along with 6 accessible spaces, which meets the accessibility requirements. The collection size is the higher version that we talked about at the programming presentation, between 44 and 53,000 volumes, depending on how many are checked out at any given time. And the higher end of the public computer standards at 37 computers. So we're hitting all of those standards and benchmarks at the higher level for this building. As you recall, we had almost 1,200 people participate in the community engagement. And these were the top 10 spaces and services that they really wanted to see in the building. So number one was a story time activity room, a teen space, a place for STEAM and STEM hands-on learning, outdoor spaces like walking paths, places to sit in the window and look out at the spaces, lots of study rooms, a quiet reading space, interactive, so a place where the kids can do hands-on learning while they're reading, a music garden along that walking path, and a high-tech makerspace. So those were the top 10. And we've referred to these as we've gone through the process to make sure that we're hitting each and every one of these for the community. So this is the floor plan. So from the adjacency diagram, we start looking at different shapes, how it fits on the site, how those important functional adjacencies worked. Let's see if my pointer works. So at the, it's all color-coded. The blue spaces are meeting spaces. So big multi-purpose room, a classroom, storage, restrooms. This is the main entry lobby. And we actually have two ways for people to access the building. This is Louisiana Ave, so people walking or riding their bike can access the building here. And then parking is all on this side, so you can access the building from this side as well. We'll be able to close this off, and so these meeting spaces could potentially be used outside of library hours if desired. So making the building as accessible as possible, as much as possible. This orange area is the children's space. So they have a separate entrance, very close to the entry. Their collection, picture books, that big story time that was number one, with access out into, Mia's gonna talk about the children's courtyard, children's technology and staff. The green is staff work areas. So there is a main reception circulation desk right here at the front. So they're to greet people as they come in. Browsing collection, and all of this purple is the adult collection. We have a teen area here, and this is the makerspace. And the makerspace also has access to the outside for really messy activities. If they're going to do a science experiment with a volcano, for example, we might want to do that outside. Study rooms here. Study rooms all along this as well. So lots of opportunities for groups or individuals to have a quiet space to study. And this is the quiet reading room right here. And then this green that you see is the staff work area. So space for the staff to be able to process books, check books back in, get it back out on the shelf. So those shelves are continuously being renewed. Any questions about the floor plan?
Is there going to be a window, like a return window, like some of the other libraries have?
There is not on this one. We have at the curb, there'll be a spot where you can drop off into a bin. So that amenity will still exist, but not a drive-up window. Anything else?
Any other questions?
Okay. Next slide. Yeah.
Okay, so we're gonna go through we're gonna go through the site plan next, just to talk you guys through the site. This is obviously a really exciting site. It's never been developed before, and it has a lot of potential. So we're really excited about it. To orient you, the building is in the same orientation as you saw on the previous plan. So the top and the program is the organization is in sort of bars. So the top section is that lobby and that. All of the end meeting rooms. The middle zone is where the children's area is, and then at the bottom is adults and the maker, teens, all of that. So a couple of just organizing principles that we talked about as we were developing this with Danny and Larry and Carolyn were that the building wanted to have a really strong street front presence. It wanted to also have, definitely pulling the building as close to the street as possible to give it that kind of prominence was a big deal, especially because of to the south, the retail that's already there is pretty tall, and we wanted the building to stand out in relation to it. There's a new road that's being built to the south of the project of the site. So also being aware that the building has kind of three front facades. There's one kind of back facade, but everything else is really visible. And so being mindful of that and being mindful of the building needs to look nice all the way around. The other thing we talked about was that from the parking, we really wanted the public to have an elevated experience, that it wasn't just, it wasn't just a retail parking lot that you're dodging cars through, that when you get there and you park park with your kid, you actually have a really nice walk in. That's where that music garden comes in, the potential to do a story walk, that kind of thing. So we've actually given the site, the parking has actually been expanded to have kind of a green space in the middle of it, so that as soon as you get out of your car, even if you park in that last spot, you can immediately kind of enter this really nice shaded walkway that'll kind of lead you to the building. And thinking about having a story walk and some interactive elements there. So that's kind of, that was another big organizational element. We also talked about, so that's kind of, that's the big move with the parking lot, is really to loosen it up and have it feel less institutional and more welcoming. And especially with the art apartments nearby, just having that be a pleasant place for people to be. At the drive through, there's a closer to the building, there's a circular drive where people can drop off, or even like a bus can drop off folks. This whole zone is intended to be cordoned off, so if the library is doing a big summer reading program when 2,000 kids show up, they can have kind of like an outdoor big activity space. So, and as part of that, in the circle, there's an amphitheater that can seat 50 to 100-ish kiddos, probably maybe 50 adults. And that kind of idea is, so it'll, again, just bringing the program outside as well to give the library room to expand and do more things with the outside. So the entrances that you saw are on the east and west. So west facing the Louisiana, and then east facing the parking lot. From there, we have on the east side, on the parking lot side, Maureen mentioned book drop return. So kind of where my pointer is right there. There will be a place to drop off books. There's also a walk-up book return, and next to that walk-up book return, there's actually going to be pickup lockers, so similar to like your Amazon lockers that you see. So if you can't get to the library during operating hours, which a lot of people who work jobs that don't follow the traditional 9-to-5 have trouble with that, you can put your book on hold and pick it up at the locker. So that's actually like a really great feature that we've been seeing more and more. So there's a little seating area here. I think that's the gist of the site. Any questions on the site?
Yes, I do. I see there's a lot of trees there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to be beautiful, and I love the music area for the kids. That's one of my favorites, it always was. I just want to make sure that when we do plant the trees, that there's going to be no issues with it like messing up the parking lot or whatever.
Absolutely.
So didn't we have issues in the past with trees either being too close to buildings or parking lots? I'm asking.
I don't know.
Okay.
But we have talked with the landscape architect, and that has been a concern that's being addressed.
Okay, good. So we're largely steering clear of planting near the building because the building has large overhanging roofs, and so not a lot of light is going to get down anyways. And then we're coming, and there is a landscape ordinance in place that governs a little bit of what can and cannot be planted. The big place we're planting at, there's a lot of these trees are actually existing along that top north edge because they're that's the edge with the apartments, so we're kind of supplementing that a little bit. But for the most part, where you see the parking and the trees are steering clear, I guess that's what I want to say. We're planting smaller, like ornamental shade trees for the most part, closer to wherever people are going to be. So a balance of a little bit of everything to kind of manage
that.
Just
worried about the roots as they get older.
No, absolutely. And the goal is to have the parking lot will be concrete, not asphalt, so it will be much sturdier and more resilient to any kind of damage of that nature.
And I think it's pretty cool that you're going to have implement thing where people, if they're not there on time, they can get the books and stuff. Have you had people talk about that, where it's been a problem, issues where it costs to fix it a lot? I'm just curious. I'm thinking, trying to think ahead of time.
We've done it in a number of places, and I haven't heard of really any issues. It will be in a location that's very visible, so it's not hidden behind a wall or somewhere that it'll be somewhere that is lit and right near the entry. But we can talk to other libraries that have installed this to see if they've had issues. You have to have a code in order to open it, just like if you are picking up an Amazon package. So, I mean, I guess somebody could vandalize it, but they wouldn't know what they're getting.
I wasn't even thinking about that. I was thinking about it breaking down.
The other part of that is the lockers are actually all of the companies that you guys are already using for materials handling, they're providing the lockers. So there's like a service contract, there's all of that stuff. So same as like your RFID gates or whatever else, it's the same kind of technology that you're supporting through a contract and all that.
I'm not familiar with it, that's why I ask questions. Sometimes even if I am familiar, I still ask questions.
They're excellent questions.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
I do have a question while we're talking about the book lockers. How are patrons going to actually open them? Is it with their card, library card, or how do they?
Just like an Amazon locker where there's like a, do you guys not have Amazon lockers?
I don't.
Yes,
we do.
So
there's an interface and you do either swipe your card or punch in a code or something like that. So
very cool. Yeah.
When you put the book on hold, the library gives you the code, so it's unique. It's not the same code for the
I love the design of the parking lot. It looks really, really, really cool. Very, very creative. In terms of ingress and egress, I noticed that there's a road to the right of the map. Is that a projected road that might eventually become, or is it just kind of going to nowhere? Like bad patrons just go to there and they just park and they got to go in timeout?
I believe the road is still being worked out right now, but I believe all of this, we're connecting all the way down to Carmel.
Yes.
Yeah, as part of the infrastructure project. We're not responsible for the infrastructure project, but that is the intention, is for it to connect.
But eventually someone will be able to get in from that side?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. The reason I ask
not
is,
eventually, right when it opens.
Right when it opens, because so I could see a concern being that being the only way in. I think once you're in, pulling in, you're fine, but if that is like a 5 o'clock traffic, I could see that being the front being the only way in. If there's a secondary, that's probably more...
And there's the potential also for this road to get extended all the way across as well. So there will be several, it'll become more of, as time passes, I think it'll become more of just a city grid.
Yeah, good. Yeah. But I love the parking lot. I think once someone gets in there, I love how y'all have designed it. It's wonderful.
Yeah, and the goal is to have, I should have mentioned this, I think it was really important for the library to have something that was low maintenance, low cost, but also reflect like the native plantings that are increasingly preferred because they are lower cost and lower maintenance and all of that. So it's kind of a good mix of, a good blend of,
Will there be a fence around that area where the kids will be and stuff?
Yeah, because I didn't talk about...
It just popped in my head, a little child running in the parking lot.
So we, over here, so out of the children's space, there will be, so down in that southwest corner, there is a fenced off what we're calling, like, it'll be a combo kind of children and makers porch. So the idea of having some picnic tables, of being able to bring either kids outside to do programs or being able to bring your maker activities, like Maureen mentioned, and do those, use those outside. And that will definitely be fenced off. There's a fence to the north to separate from the residential. And then we haven't really talked about, the intent was to have the rest of it open, but kind of creating this protected path down the middle of that planted zone. So you're kind of in the most sheltered space away from cars that are zooming by. We're also maintaining narrower lanes, drive lanes, to slow down traffic so that the wider you make them, the faster people tend to drive, so that the curbs.
But please don't make them too narrow.
No, no.
You're talking to the parking lot, right?
In the parking lot. In the parking lot. So.
Yeah, where's the, and it may be just too small on the monitor I'm looking at, I looked up there, but the marquee for the signage.
You'll start to see that in some of the rendering views. We have a big sign out front here. So to give that prompt, we have some building signage on the front face as well so that people who are zipping by on Louisiana can kind of see it. And then similarly on the back, there's some signage. This is schematic design, so signage typically gets developed as we keep moving forward. So I don't have an exact answer for you, but both sides is the short answer.
Gotcha. And then maybe a little bit more technical question that y'all may or may not have at hand. But the CMOR process, that's kind of typically native with this, where are we at? Is that part of the building process that we're going to use, or what are we doing there?
Can we circle back to that one after we get through the design presentation?
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
Because I think it's, other people need to answer it.
Okay.
Yes.
Any other design questions?
I have a question about the dotted line, the double line. Is that the property line?
Yes, that's the property line that was agreed on.
The green space, the dark green, gray, and then the other green space, is that just not...
Down here?
Yeah, correct.
That is a different...
it's out of the property.
That's outside of the property line. Yeah, that's there's a different project that's happening there.
That's Lita.
Lita.
And then the green space to the side of that.
You guys will have ownership of that, I guess. It's lease ownership, however. Control of that, yes. We're not planning for anything there at this time, but I think there's the potential to do something in the future.
Do you know the square footage of that?
That square?
Not, probably, how many parking spaces? 1, 2, 3, 4. I can't do the math right now, but we can get you that information.
The whole thing is 6.5 acres, so that's maybe an eighth of that.
Is there something you're wondering about?
I just saw it in the property line. I was wondering if that was ours, if we could do something with it.
You can. I think for now the goal is just to do low maintenance, like native planting, prairie style. And then we'll, whatever you guys come up with in the future.
Okay.
All right.
I do have one other thing. Could you go back one? Danny?
Hi.
Or I'll look up here.
He's getting there.
Oh, they're the same. So, up here.
Here?
Up other side of the wall. Yeah, those parking spaces right there. Could we look at a way where maybe those parking spaces could be done away with? Because I really like the way we give a protected walk path through the parking lot for, you know, people that are coming in cars, but I really think that there's going to be a lot of foot traffic in the area.
Absolutely.
And to keep those cars away from the building, and it just kind of clears up that whole walking space all right there.
So in order to maintain wheelchair access, we do need to have those there.
Oh, because of handicap.
Because otherwise, the site is long and skinny, and so it's a pretty long walk, and especially like for someone, a senior, or even with a walker or something like that, you want to have a couple of spaces that make it easier for them to get into the building.
So then, I guess, segue, is there a way to have all of those either to be for handicap and or senior citizens?
That's what they will be.
Okay,
yes.
So they all would be.
That's all of those are accessible. Yes.
Okay. Awesome.
I think seniors. There could be signs that we add that are, if there's any leftover that we tag as senior, or like for families also, because if a mom's got like 3 kids in the stroller, like that's also similar.
Absolutely.
Similar mobility challenge.
Okay. Awesome.
All right.
All right. I think we're good on the design.
All right. So we'll walk you guys, so we'll quickly just look through the views just to kind of talk about it. So the views start at the northwest corner of, so looking at the building coming down Louisiana, and then we'll kind of just fly around. The general idea for the building was to kind of create something that was really aspirational, light, airy, and had that big street prominence. So we knew sloping roofs were a must, we knew, there were certain other like parameters. So the 3 bars are kind of expressed. Like I mentioned, there's that programming meeting space bar at the top, and then children's is actually that middle zone. So you kind of can already start to see the activity happening. And then over peeking around the corner is the maker teen zone. So from the street, I think you'll already see a lot of activity. You'll notice some bright funky colors all on the facade. We've talked about public art having a place in this building. So whether that's murals that are commissioned by the library, which we think would be a really cool way to do that, or if it's something that we end up working into the actual materiality of it, that's something that we're still developing as we move into DD. So yeah, there's, that's kind of, that's the big move. Also creating these porches that are kind of like a front porch to the library. I think that was something that was really important to the library and to the community, to have something that was welcoming, that created, provided that shelter, where you could potentially like pull up like an impromptu concert if you wanted to, or like a little like porch jam session. So that was kind of, that was kind of part of the thinking of it. And then also, by creating these tall elevated spaces, creating something that was really light and airy, brought in a lot of natural light, but also not too much natural light, not natural light, but not too much glazing, because we didn't want to, we're aware of the hurricane constraints in the area and all of that. And then all of the meeting spaces, the big section of glazing that you see, that's a meeting space, so having those have access to natural light as well. This is another view, so just coming a little further down Louisiana, looking back at the building. So you start to see the signage kind of on the street frontage, just really kind of trying to be fun, really capture the community's imagination. You see, again, more of that kind of mural wall treatment around the maker porch, signifying, again, we tried to locate those moments of art where also a program is happening, so like where something fun, that the library is doing something interesting and fun. So where the children's area and the maker space spill out, that's kind of this really vibrant, colorful space. And then you start to see the fence that kind of contains the kiddos so they don't run off onto Louisiana. That was really important to all of us. Okay, we'll go to the next one. So that's another view of that maker porch just from that corner. You start to see over here, there's another little roof that pops up and creates another, this big glazing really daylights all the way into the adult space, so the adult reading rooms, but that's also where the quiet reading room is and two study rooms, so you'll get a lot of really good natural light, really kind of beautiful views. We're working through the landscape just out there, so when you look out, you actually will see a view framed by like a beautiful like ornamental tree or something like that.
The roof looks flat to me, unless I just cannot see it, but...
There's not a single flat roof. No, they're all pretty sloped.
Okay, so it is sloped. Okay, so it's just me.
And they're all surface draining outside, so there's nowhere for water to get trapped as well. It's a lot of, yeah, but it, we call it a butterfly roof, where it takes off and like kind of creates a V. So.
And that V that it creates... Have you had any problems with it causing water?
It'll push water out, so it'll have an enter. You can't see it from the street, but it will push water all the way out. So
okay, thank you.
I promise.
You've had issues, so yeah, get PTSD.
We hear it all the time. So yeah, we know. But yeah, that's a prime concern, and that's really like we satisfied Larry. So I feel like that was
okay. That makes me there.
Exactly.
The roof materials. What's the makeup of them? Is it wood? Metal?
It's going to be a standing seam metal roof. So that's your most durable. We got a thumbs up over there. That's your most durable long term roof option. I think that's like a 50-year roof.
Given our propensity to receive excessive winds due to hurricanes, is there any concern that during a hurricane, having such open areas would experience trapped wind and lift up the roof? We've seen that with the Bayou Church recently,
yeah,
with those similar overhangs.
Structural is working through all the load calcs. We've already, that's been top of mind from the beginning. So we are definitely chasing that through and making sure we're meeting all the wind restrictions.
Yeah, if y'all are not familiar, the Bayou Church is on College Saloon there. The previous ministry building was torn down during the last major storm, peeled open like a tin can.
Yeah.
And it was a very small overhang, which was, I think, it was crazy because it was one of the few buildings affected. But I see this, it's gorgeous, it's magnificent, it's open, I'm inspired. I want to be a butterfly flying in your butt. With that comes a very large area, and again, I'm not a designer, I'm not an engineer, I trust y'all, I'll just ask and say, you know,
so
if you're thinking about that, it's considered, then it's good for me.
The structure is a steel superstructure, so it's steel columns, everything will be welded or bolted in a way, like it'll be very, very sturdy. Churches, especially churches of a certain age, were not built to that standard. So
no, that one,
this case was
just like aluminum and very little.
Yeah.
It was not a sturdy material on that exterior,
exactly.
And that's why it peeled open.
And then we're using, we're actually using a structure, like a special structural metal deck as well, so even the plane of the roof itself will be stronger than it typically is, so.
Thank you, appreciate it.
Two other questions on this view right here.
Mm-hmm.
To Chris's point about, obviously, South Louisiana, storms, hurricanes, or just kind of life around here. The big glass wall areas, are there anything, is there anything we can do in the engineering phase to prep to be able to cover those in a very, you know, quick fashion in the event of a storm coming?
That's a really good question. We are actually exploring right now ways to bring some shading, especially, so we're, the Danny moved the view, and actually I think this is a good place to talk about this. We're actually at the corner entry. Now we've moved around, so we're entering the parking lot now, just to orient everyone. So that big piece of glass is probably the biggest piece of glass all the way around. And that's a good question. We're looking at ways to create a little, because it's also southwest facing, we're bringing in some shading elements. So those shading elements could be something that actually either closes down and does a little bit of that extra protection. We'll be using, this is one of the only, there's two other locations where the glass is tall, so it'll be like a curtain wall, which is a stronger glass system. But having some element that kind of protects the glass makes a lot of sense. So, and we are looking at that right now.
Awesome, thank you. The second thing is as you heard Ms. Rachel talk about earlier, with our millage and the importance of educating the public, that's one element of it, but obviously there are many other elements of just educating everyone around as to everything that's going on at the library.
Absolutely.
What have you guys seen in the way of digital signage? It's come a long way. There's a lot to offer out there because there's going to be a lot of traffic on that front. What have you seen used?
We have seen a fair amount of digital signage, actually. It's expensive. I guess I would want to look at how fast cars are going and how much are they able to see as they're driving by. So, and then also looking at, you've seen some super graphics all the way around that big vertical sign of the library. That might be more useful and really letting people know that this is a library. I think there are other visual clues to let you know. Now, if we're talking about digital signage, like at the entrance to the building, as people are walking up, we've done that on the outside of the building to say, hey, there's two story times today, the teens are making jewelry, there's a gaming session at 7 o'clock, all of that kind of calendar events happening on the outside and also throughout the interior. And we do have a technology consultant on our team that will be helping us with some of that as well.
Yeah, I'm referring more to, you know, any given year, we have over 3,000 programs of all kind of various natures and all kind of things constantly going on. I'm referring to some sort of digital signage that would be full color and be able to kind of put up that kind of stuff on a weekly basis. That way everybody passing, you know, to and fro would be able to see that. So
more
I'd be interested in looking at that.
Or
ma'am?
Vehicular or pedestrian?
Both. Yeah, because, I mean, right
so
there,
be
I mean, I don't know. What's anybody know the speed limit right there in front of the golf course? It's not 45, maybe? So somewhere around there, you know, so it's not like it's an interstate doing 70 miles an hour. It is a slower. So anyway, just be something I'd be definitely interested to be able to educate the public. That's a big part of what we need to do better at, be better at.
I'm just throwing this out here. If it's too expensive for us to get, what about just making signs, you know, like we do to advertise things,
yeah,
to let the people
something.
Know? I mean, it'd be a lot cheaper to do that.
Well, some operations could look at after the build, but
like those big flags that you see kind of along the road that say sign up for summer reading for the big kind of long term.
Yeah. No, in a perfect world, I'd love what he's talking about.
I have the suspicion this building will be wildly popular and won't need the signage, but. But I think the beautiful thing about signage is also that you can tweak and modify as you go. So if you find that people are missing certain kinds of programming, like that, then you strategize how to add that and how to. It can be a more layered approach without spending the big bucks right up front. So.
Thank you.
All right, so as you're walking, so we kind of, we wanted this to feel, there are a lot of pedestrians in this neighborhood, in this, this area, so we really wanted this whole, all sides of the building to really feel approachable from a pedestrian perspective. This back entrance, like I mentioned, this is a zone that really is supposed to feel more like an event plaza, kind of have that opportunity. And then and the roof, for that reason, does actually overhang more, so there's a little bit more of a place to have, again, like I was saying, like an outdoor program, just a place where you can perch and wait for your ride or meet a friend with a coffee before you go inside, etc. So kind of having that fun experience. Yeah, I think that's it. Danny, next. And then this is that final view. So this is the view coming from the parking lot, basically, as you're approaching the building. And on the right, you see into a classroom. You see the big, we wanted it to feel, be really important, like it was really important to make, have the building feel really intuitive so that you would understand that the big glass is the entrance, obviously, but you would also see peaks of activity. You would see that black grid, those are those lockers that we were talking about, as well as the book drop. And there will be signage to go along with those. And then on the left, over by, there's another kind of fun approach to signage, plus the entry to the staff area. So that's the delivery drop-off zone for staff. So yeah, I think that's the last slide. Is that right? Oh, and then just a close-up of that zone. So really feeling kind of a fun happening entry with a lot of, just a lot of really good energy, I think.
So the view we were just looking at, that's opposite, obviously, of the frontage. And so the building's mechanically sloped back this direction to this view?
The building is sloped.
Because you got your...
It pushes water out in both directions.
Right.
So.
Okay, we can look at that a little bit.
So there's a V here, and water comes out here, and it comes out here. So it'll push water.
In the middle, yes.
We'll bring you guys a roof plan next time, I promise.
Yeah. Well, we've just had a lot of roof. We've had a lot of roof issues, and so everybody's really interested.
No, and that's completely understand. Yeah.
Yep.
It's fascinating when you see it.
It's very simple.
You can't see it from the street, but it's really fascinating to look at.
It slopes and pushes all the water out. So yeah, it was important to us to do it right and make sure it actually works really well for you guys moving forward. So.
Okay, any other questions?
All right.
Thank you all so much for being here. We did have that one other question.
The CMAR question?
Yes.
Yeah, I failed to mention earlier, so I have our Director of Capital Improvements here. LCG is managing the project and the actual like construction of the entire construction. So I want to give him an opportunity to talk about the CMAR and just thank him and his team publicly. Carolyn has been on the project for a while, so they've been doing a really good job from LCG standpoint. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Martin.
Good evening. My name is Martin Pori. I'm the Director of Capital Improvements. It's my department that oversees the design of these structures. We also oversee the construction of them. You mentioned a question about the CMAR. We are completed with the CMAR documents. They're actually being released for contractors this Wednesday, okay? So we're gonna do two advertisements. We're gonna do Wednesday, and we're gonna do one more time. We're allowing about 5.5 weeks for these contractors to put together their proposal. So on August the 7th is their deadline to submit their proposals to us. And then after they submit their proposals to us, we allotted ourselves about 3 weeks to review. So on August the 27th, we should have a decision on what contractor we're going to utilize for the CMAR. We'll review their proposals. We'll actually hold interviews with the contractors, and then we'll give ourselves another week to discuss it. We have a committee set up to make that selection for us.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right. Any questions?
Any other questions, sir, Mr. Morton?
Right. Thank you.
Mr. Morton, thank you very much.
What is CMAR?
It's a process in construction management where you bring on the company that's going to help you or build the project. They work with the engineering team as they're designing it to where they can go and say, hey, if you build that roof like that, it's going to cost you $100 million. If you build it like this, with the same effect, it's only going to cost you $5 million. I'm being facetious with the numbers to make a point, but they just really help with trying to control costs on some of the things as it's designed and make sure that we optimize as best as possible. Is that about right?
I have explained it better.
Okay, thank you. Y'all taking applications or?
Yes, I am.
All right. Mr. Tabor said, be careful what you ask for. Okay, board, any other questions? I'm going to, as the president and presiding officer, we say in our opening readings that I have the right to depart from Robert's Rules of Order. I'm going to do that right now because I want to give the public an opportunity to ask any questions while we really have the whole group of people from Danny to LCG to 720 Design. Everyone's here, so we're going to have to do this orderly. Please don't ask any type of questions that are outside of the realm of this project specifically. Otherwise, I'll just ask you to please kindly be seated. But I do want to give an opportunity, if the public has any questions that maybe the board has not addressed and you would like to ask that question, let's go single file. Ms. Mary, just come up to the podium and just ask your question where it's on record, everyone can hear, and then we'll let them answer them individually.
Hi, Mary Lib Garcia. I served on the study committee with Ella, and three questions that I have, and they probably are premature, but one that I'd like to know, because of the how busy Louisiana Avenue is what the setback from the road is and what the width of that sidewalk is. I was just at the Paul Bro groundbreaking this past week, and the city LCG is working with that project to expand the width of those sidewalks to enable not only pedestrian but bicycles, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, I do think you're absolutely correct that there is a lot of pedestrian activity along that area, but I do think that because of what an important arterial route Louisiana is, that the setback is important. The second thing I would like to know is, and again, this may be premature, but because it deals with mechanicals, if there's any provision to incorporate solar in order to try to improve the energy efficiency and the heating and cooling cost of the project. So that's just one thought there. Now would be the time. And I don't know what the procedure is for city projects, for capital programs, regarding generator requirements, but it does seem, because this is the only library in that whole side, that it seems like it would be a very cost-efficient move to incorporate some type of generator backup so that the building can function, for the safety and comfort of the people. And then the last question, comment that I have is, I'm kind of with Ella in terms of the narrowness of the roads. I and again, not looking at the dimensions, the width, etc., but I presume because this again is the only library and there are a lot of schools in that area that will be using school buses, as to how accommodating the road width and the design of that, the turn spaces and all, for drop off of students and actually maneuverability of these big school buses. So those are the questions that I have, just from sitting in the audience. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Mary.
Would you like me to answer them?
Danny, by all means.
Okay.
And if anybody disagrees with Danny and the team, please raise your hand. We want to get
10 feet, no plans for solar. We are going with a generator that is required to maintain the integrity of the materials and the structure. We are not going with a generator to give the potential for this building to be open while everyone else's power is out. We specifically are not equipped as library staff to run something that would serve as an emergency shelter. And what was the third question?
School buses.
School buses.
Right.
they have been showing us pictures of all of the ways that school buses turn so that they are accommodating that, so that we will be able to handle that.
All right, excellent.
To add to that, the building is set back 50 feet from Louisiana, so there's
50 feet?
Plenty of
room. Oh, okay. Yeah. It looks much closer.
No, and then the sidewalks are 10 feet, then the setback is 10 feet, but we're pushing it further back just to give that breathing room. We have done a lot of auto turn studies, so actually testing how a bus turns and maneuvers, and there's actually a parking spot that's out of the way just for a bus. I need to show that on the site plan, but it's there. So.
Okay, and just for recording purposes, Miss Jenna?
Mia.
Mia. I got that wrong. Miss Mia just shared with us that they are doing some studies from the parking lot road perspective regarding the school, and that the building is going to be 50 feet on a setback. Okay, just so we have that on recording. Ms. Mayor, thank you for all those questions. Anybody else? Nobody. Okay, fantastic. All right, we'll do one last call. Board, any other thoughts or questions before we move on to our next agenda item?
Just a thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you all for the information. Fantastic.
Okay, well, as Mr. Chris just said, thank you all for taking the time, effort, and energy being here with us. Thank you for all the months of hard work. It is a beautiful looking facility. We look forward to further updates from Danny. He's been doing a great job kind of being the hub, the middle of the wheel, keeping everything kind of tied together, and look forward to moving this project forward and breaking ground and getting this facility up and running for Lafayette Parish. So thank you all very much. Okay, our next item on the agenda, I'll just go ahead and handle it myself. I'd like to make a motion to cancel the July 20th, 2026 regularly scheduled board meeting as has been status quo in previous years.
I already seconded.
Third. We got a second, we got a third. I'm not even sure I need to call for a vote, but do we have any, we have a motion, a second, any public comment? No public comments. Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it, the motion carries. All right. Just a reminder, next library meeting will not be July 20th. That's
August 3rd.
It's going to be the August 3rd. That is awesome. Thank you so much. It's going to be August 3rd. Did not know that date. And a reminder that the yearly ethics training and sexual harassment training must be completed by December 31st. Any closing comments from the public on any items not on the agenda? All right. Easy peasy. Well, let's please stand. And Ms. Rena is going to close us in prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity for us to engage in our civic responsibility. We thank you for those that have worked very many long hours and fought through many headaches for this project. We are so blessed by this new project, and we ask that you please guide us with wisdom and a fortuitous power to engage our community in passing this knowledge. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you all for coming and attending. You all have a great evening. God bless.